Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful, restful weekend with your family and friends, an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day, to gather as the people of God, and to be able to lift up in this really challenging time in the history of the church and in the world, to be able to gather around the Lord himself, the one who is King and Lord of all, and to hear the readings that the church is beginning to talk about. Today, at the liturgy, at Mass, the church begins to look at the book of Revelation as we're moving through the liturgical cycle of the church year now. We're near the Advent season. But prior to that, we're looking at the second coming of Christ, the book of Revelation, the parables about judgment, and the end times. That kind of a feel is present in the readings of the church. And it's worth following the church, as always. The church as our mother kind of takes us through the Paschal mystery, living it. We live it each year, all the key dimensions of Jesus' incarnation, life, passion, death, and resurrection. And by praying together as a community, this pilgrim community that's moving in time and history, each one of us individually is a pilgrim. And our pilgrimage is headed toward the kingdom of God, toward a final banquet, the celebration of eternal life with Christ, who's won for us such a dear and great and powerful and eternal salvation. We're all pilgrims. We're all on the way. And in this journey, it's a spiritual combat. And the spiritual combat and our daily struggles and human weaknesses and the challenges can make this pilgrimage a difficult one. But it's a pilgrimage that we undertake with a vision of faith. We know who we are. We know why we're here. We know where we're going. It's important for us to be able to live in that because faith lifts us. It buoys us. It gives us clarity and purpose and direction. That's exactly what the devil wants to steal from each and every one of us. That's what's in play in our personal spiritual battles each day, is the devil wants to undermine that faith and the radical abandonment of our lives and trust to Jesus that brings about kind of peace, confidence, security in him, and a clear mind, a capacity to know how we can best use the time the Lord has given us on this pilgrimage, and we know we're not walking alone. Of course, one of the things the devil wants to do is to think that we're isolated, that we're on our own, that we're unloved, unlovable, that God somehow is distant, impersonal. And if he is personal, he's somehow disappointed in you. And we struggle with this battle because the devil constantly tries to get us to doubt who God is, to blur our capacity to see the beauty and the power and the mercy and the faithfulness of the Lord and his attitude toward us, which is one of constant love. Jesus doesn't condemn us. Jesus isn't disappointed in us. He's not backing away from us. He's delighted to be able to identify with us. And he's our Lord, and he's the one who accompanies us on this pilgrimage that we live not only in faith, but in hope. Hope is the confident expectation that this goal we see, this eternal life in Jesus, this gift of eternal salvation and participating in the glory that belongs to him, that this is something that's real, and it's there for us. And we have, by this theological virtue of hope, we have a underlying confidence that what we perceive and what we see as the goal is something by God's grace that we will attain, and we'll attain it through his mercy, through his power, through his victory, and participating in it. So we have this individual journey, but all of us are on the same journey. We don't live it identically the same way, but we're meant to be a community that's moving together in time, in history, in the visible presence of the body of Christ on earth, and a declaration by the way we live, and hopefully the radically different way we live than the broader culture in many ways, that we're able to communicate to others a unity and the awareness that Christ is in our midst. And he's the reason we are. He's the reason the church exists. He's the reason each one of us are a part of the church, and we feed on his word, we feed on his body and blood, we worship him, we give to him what belongs to him. And the Sunday liturgy in particular is a high point for us in the church, because what happens there? Well, together as a communion, as a local expression of the whole body of Christ on earth, We're united, and there's a portal, there's a doorway that opens on that altar every Sunday when we're together, when Jesus is made present, body, blood, soul, and divinity right there. And in Jesus, we're able to give to the Father what belongs to the Father. I mean, we're weak, we're sinful, we're broken human beings, we fail, but we are most fundamentally, that's not what defines us. What defines us above all else is the fact that we're children of God, that we're the beloved of the Father, that in Jesus now, we have access to the relationship that the Father desires for each and every one of us, for us to know Him as a loving, merciful Father. And that's meant to be the security and foundation of each one of our lives. And when we're there together as the people of God around the altar and we commune, we come one by one, but together we come to the altar and both physically or symbolically, we bend our knee, we say amen to the gift of salvation that is ours in Jesus, what He offers to us. We receive the forgiveness of our sins. We affirm the reality of what Jesus' word had just communicated to us. We accept His grace. We receive it because we say yes to the communion that He's building in us. Even though we're weak, sinful people, even though we have divisions and things we have to repent of and to work to constantly cooperate with God's grace to be that living communion and community that's in Jesus, we're all there and we're being fed by Him. And we're saying amen to the Father's provision of the gift of His Son Jesus for the salvation of the world. And in that moment, heaven is open to us in an entirely unique way in the life of the church, because this banquet, the celebration of the victory of the Lamb, is going on in heaven. And we're getting a glimpse of it. We're touching it, because heaven comes to earth and the separation of heaven and earth just kind of goes away for a moment in an entirely unique way. And the King and Lord of all, the one that these days now, this week and probably into next week, the book of Revelation, one of the central themes, of course, is the victory of the Lamb that was slain for us, the Lamb that feeds us now, is Lord of all. And we're fed by the sacrament and given strength. And His word declares His victory and majesty. And it touches our mind and our spirit, and we come alive to the reality of who Jesus is, the revelation of the lordship and the majesty of Jesus Christ. That's a vision of faith that we're to live by every day. That's the vision the devil wants to obscure. He wants to distract us from it, but it's meant to be the optic through which we see and understand reality, our own life, where our life is going, but also the whole destiny of the church and the whole destiny of the world. Scripture reminds us, the teaching of the church, the catechism beautifully reminds us that all things were made by Jesus. All things were made for Jesus, for His glory, for the beloved Son of the Father. All things are going to return to Him. He's the final judge over the living and the dead. All of God's creation will ultimately be in the hands and is in the hands of Jesus. And that's partly what the book of Revelation wants to reveal to us, wants to communicate to us. There's so much in this book that is both prophetic but also symbolic. It's prophetic symbolism in places. You could say it communicates to us an apocalyptic vision, both the reality of what we can see coming in the end times. It's also a present revelation of how the spiritual battle unfolds in the church in human history. It's also obviously a time, you know, specifically situated in the first century where God is speaking through John, giving him a revelation to be able to encourage the churches that are the seven churches that are in Asia Minor. So the setting is here that John is in Asia Minor. The Roman Empire is hostile to the emerging community of Christians. He's a shepherd, he's a pastor, he's concerned, he's praying for his people. They're under persecution, they're under a tremendous amount of pressure. There's battles within them. There's battles that leads to compromise, the sinfulness that's present in the life of the church. You can see it throughout history. human beings inhabit the church. We're forgiven sinners who've been called by Christ to come together, and we're on the way to perfection. We're not yet perfected. And so there's spiritual struggle within the church. There's great pressures outside the church, upon the church. And John on the Lord's Day is seeking the Lord and praying, and he receives an amazing revelation. So I want to just talk about that today. And hopefully, as we touch on it this week, that revelation of the Lordship and Majesty of Jesus that so encouraged John and gave him confidence that despite the circumstances of life, that those seven churches, as are all the churches, as are all of God's people, are in the hand of the Lord. And as Jesus said, we have nothing to fear. Don't worry about tribulation. Don't worry about persecution. Don't worry about the trials in this life. Life is short. It's a passing shadow. We're here today and are gone tomorrow. Soon it will be over. But in the meantime, the Lord is with us in his Spirit to strengthen us, to give us comfort. And we'll see that through elements of the book of Revelation here that we'll take a look at this week. So chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants what must soon take place, and he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written therein, for the time is near. So commentators see in this clearly that the time is near right then for the churches in Asia Minor that were under the pressure of this dominant Roman Empire, which had a whole emperor cult at the center of it and really rejected the worldview that Christians were proclaiming and beginning to live. And so the words, the prophetic words that John received were for the church in that moment. Many commentators make the point very clearly that it's also, as I said, it's a prophetic understanding of the church's spiritual battle through time. And what we see here are characteristic elements of the battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness and how it ends up being revealed in the journey and the pilgrimage of the life of the church. But also, as I said, we can see that it points to ultimately to the end time. Verse 4 said, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia Minor, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. Who is, who was, and who is to come. God himself, right? We'll hear that he's the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. And it says, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He's addressing seven churches, and the Holy Spirit is with the seven churches. It's interesting, you can see in the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima and other places, the understanding that every nation has an angel over it, and the churches have angels assigned to it, and the Holy Spirit is appealing constantly before the throne of God on behalf of the church. And I just want to end today's program in verse 5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. I'm going to take this up tomorrow, friends. Hope you can join me. God bless you. Let's walk today recognizing that we're pilgrims on a journey and that the Lord himself is accompanying us individually and corporately. Let that strengthen your heart today. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.